This is Allison Janney.
This is Matt Ballmer.
This is Donna Murphy.
This is Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
I'm Octavia Spencer.
This is Ben Platt, and you're listening to Little Known Facts Podcast with my favorite person on the planet, Alana Levine. A-OK.
Welcome to Little Known Facts, a podcast where you will hear unfiltered, raw, honest, and uniquely funny interviews with artists you love as they talk about the art they love to make. I'm your host, Alana Levine.
Hey, I heard you needed inspiration. He's Alana and friends with some revelations. Little known fact of the day. Every little thing's gonna be A-OK. A-OK.
Hey everyone, new episodes of Little Known Facts drop every Monday and you can find them on your favorite podcast provider. Also, if you go to the website, littleknownfactspodcast.com, you'll find behind-the-scenes photos, videos, and interviews, and lots more on the gallery page. And if you are loving these intimate, candid conversations with all the artists who come on the show, please head over to the contributions page. I depend on these donations to continue to bring you these interviews every week. So if you love the show, please donate. Little known fact about my guest today, he is an avid surfer and travels the globe searching for great waves. Welcome back, Madman's John Slattery.
A-OK. A-OK.
John directed a film starring Philip Seymour Hoffman called God's Pocket, and I hope you rent it or just however you can go get it.
Go get it.
You know what? We'll wait. Go get it. We'll just sit here.
Just get it.
Go get it. We'll just have some coffee.
God's
then.
Pocket.
And
Philip
also,
Seymour Hoffman was, God bless him, was in it. And, you know, it's, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's somebody, if you turn the camera on, there's everything he does is not only usable, you just have to sort of figure out, well, how am I going to use all of this? Yeah, he was pretty extraordinary.
I mean, talk about watching an actor going, he played Capote.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing this part, and he did Death of a Salesman. I mean, his range of characters that he played, characters who are much older than him at times, characters that have lived lives, you know, so other than his own upbringing. And I only think of this now because God's Pocket, which is this beautiful movie, because Phil died, it changes the narrative of how that film, what the film's legacy is. And it'll live because of that, too. Another way that a little indie film might not have the people circling back to it.
It did get it did go sideways in many, many ways. I mean, most importantly, the loss of, you know, Phil.
Yeah.
Like, just as a human being. But yeah, as a film, that is, for lack of, you know, it's, among other things, distracting.
Mm-hmm.
When the first person up on the screen has passed and no one can believe that it's actually happened. And he's the first, the movie opens up and there he is. And all you can think of is, oh my God, he's gone.
Right.
And it's a comedy.
Right.
So, you know, there goes the funny, you know,
it's it was like, a comedy.
It was a dark comedy. Right. And it was, now and it's... Phil, he produced it with me and he's such a funny, he was such a funny person.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like, obviously a great, you know, person, actor of depth and an artist, but really funny. And it wasn't funny anymore.
Right. And I have watched it again,
mm-hmm.
and I have to say...
It's not funny.
I never thought it was funny. And it,
I never thought you were funny.
You're at a moment where it's an exciting time in terms of the kinds of choices you can make. You have been a part of something that few people will ever be a part of, which is a show that, because of very specific reasons and the timing of it, just hit a moment culturally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of heady thing to observe as a friend, and I'm sure it's heady and strange to be a part of it. You know, I feel like you're someone who is really up to the challenge in life of taking on things that you haven't done before, whether it's directing, whether it's having to take your clothes off on camera, whether it's sitting here naked right now to do this interview. It's ridiculous. I didn't even ask you to, and you are in clogs, which is ridiculous. Have you ever played a gay person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Kissed
played a
man.
Woman. What's that? Who on, did you kiss?
On stage. Dan Butler.
Lucky.
Lucky me. Dan, lucky if you're out there, you smoochy bastard, you.
Always had nice breath. Banaka.
He had whiskers. I remember that was the weird thing. I was like, wow, I don't like this whisker thing.
Mm-hmm.
Done that. Been naked on stage. Been naked, I think, in a movie. I don't know. You know, those the good thing about being my age is that those days are over.
Right.
Do I want to do that? I don't think I would do that anymore.
Well, you just were naked recently on Mad Men.
I was. Well, not really. I mean, you don't sort of.
Oh,
yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I rewound.
Your ass is there. But you
anyway,
know,
but,
you know,
but that's the least of it. I think people think, I mean, there are things for different people that are scary. You know, Lena Dunham, whether she's nervous about being naked or not, there's less trauma
right.
in the world
I mean,
now around
it. It's not that big
it.
A deal.
But
I mean,
are there things that, have you read anything lately that you'd be like, that's, I don't know if I can go there.
I don't know. I haven't. I mean, I haven't. I have. I mean, things, you know, certainly scare me. I mean, I, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, my, what am I going to, how am I going to do this? Donald Trump scares
right.
the fuck out of me.
I can't believe you're stumping for him. That's crazy.
Well, that's because it's scary.
You love
because,
a winner.
You know, I want to challenge myself. So I am going to get Donald Trump elected.
Good for you. Are there things that people have told you along the way that stay with you?
I had a director once tell me, I said, can I do another take? And he goes, well, yeah, but why? I mean, I said, well, I wanted to put this thing down in a different way. And he goes, well, you've taken all of the life. You've squeezed all the life out of this thing.
Oh.
I said, what do you mean? He said, there's no spontaneity in it. It was like the first job. And I was like, well, it was helpful to know that, you know, it's to practice something and choreograph it and then do it on film is not interesting at all. If there's no life in it, spontaneity, you know, humanity
right.
in it,
right.
truth, you know, actually
right.
in the moment.
Living, breathing and
yeah,
responding.
I mean, and that's a good thing to learn young. I was directing a young actor and he did this take and then he did it again the same way. And I said, okay, let's do another one. And don't apologize as much. I know you're actually apologizing, mm-hmm. but maybe it should be a little less like you don't really want to do this, something like that. And he did it exactly the same way. And I said, and he goes, well, see, the reason I'm apologizing is I said, I know why. And then you did that already, but let's try a different one. And then he stops and goes, well, the reason I said, wait, do you want to do this the same way again? You realize there's no point to that, right? We have it this way already. And the person you're working with just did it five different ways.
Right.
But I think people think, well, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to do it one way. And that's how I'm going to do it. And it's antithetical to doing it on film.
Right. But also that's what they did in the audition. Like a lot of times it's like, okay, that's what I did in the audition. And
right.
that's what they saw. So I'm going to.
But this was like someone who was on this thing for a while. And I was like, oh, you really think that this is how you're supposed to do it?
Right.
You're supposed to do it one way and then keep doing it that way. So I learned that's not a good idea. Things that people said to me. It's more what people don't say. I mean, when I started doing this, the encouragement I got was that no one told me this is not for you.
Right. Do you know Roger Bart?
Yeah.
I interviewed him the other day, and he said that when he got out of Mason Gross, you did like the Urdas or like the League auditions where you kind of, it's your first time out, like I'm auditioning professionally, and they do you the kindness of sending you like a couple of weeks later the scribbles that they wrote down during your, you know, your contemporary and your classical monologue. And to a person, all of them were like, you're terrible.
Oh.
You should not
do this. No future.
No.
Yeah.
So for me, who's really interested in sort of how do you, in the face of adversity or in the face of that kind of challenge, like, do you hang those on your bedroom wall and every day go, I'll show you? Because that's pretty heady. That doesn't feel great when you're.
No, I mean, we've all had rejection. I mean, you know, doing this for a long time, you get rejected for a million reasons. You know, your nose is too big. It's too small.
It is too big.
It is too big.
It is too big.
It is,
you're
actually.
You're too big.
Are
there,
you know,
is there one that you can think of, like the one that got away? And of course it didn't, but at the time that you were like, wow, I thought.
Jeez. I have a terrible memory, generally speaking, until all of a sudden I'll be, you know, I'll be on the subway and 15 minutes and I'll go, oh, there was. Fuck.
All right. Don't worry. You can call in. I will be interviewing Judy Kuhn next week and you can totally call in.
When the one that got, no, I don't really have, there were, you know, I wanted other people's careers.
Like who? Because now.
Kevin Spacey. I still want Kevin Spacey's career.
Do you? You want to break the fourth wall and. I want to talk about being president.
Yeah, I do want to do that.
That's cool, right? That's,
you know, I feel like if there's a way to endear yourself or make people identify with you, just look at the camera and go, watch what I do. Watch this. Mm-hmm. And then turn around and do something. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to try that.
Okay.
But then he already did it.
Yeah, but you could do it anyway if you wanted. I mean, no, I don't know that anyone would see
I
it.
I could do it. And then they would just, yeah. Yeah, they'd go, well, he's just trying to be.
Do you know
like
what you
Kevin
could do?
Spacey.
You could look, but you could do it differently. You could look right in the camera and say, look at Kevin Spacey.
Watch what Kevin Spacey does now. What if I did that? What if I just stood by the, you know, in the room, in like the Oval Office and was just like, watch what Kevin Spacey's going
to
do right
now. He's
about to
say.
And then he says, watch
totally.
What I'm going
to do. I would actually go pitch that show with you tomorrow. I think that's a really good idea.
The making of.
Totally.
House of Cards.
Totally. I think you should do that. So we do this thing, and you can pretend that I didn't already text you this question. But I do have a little segment where I ask everyone, and if you have one, maybe you've never had an audition that didn't go the way you wanted it to.
I've never had a bad audition.
I know. So maybe you can make one up. Do you ever, like, I remember one of my first auditions was, I think, for Jonathan Mark Sherman's play at Playwrights Horizons, and Daniel Swee was the casting director, and I think it was the nicest man in the world, on the planet.
In show business.
And I would
at
say
least.
That even not on the radio.
Yeah. But she's shaking her head like and sticking her tongue out like, ugh.
Despite what happened recently at Lincoln Center, between me and Lincoln Center. And I think it might have been The Women in Wallace. Do you remember that title?
I don't know. Back in 1923.
And I love the play so much, and here was a writer like my age writing about characters my age, and it was totally thrilling. And I went in, and I, at some point in the scene, am meant to give a condom to the person that I'm talking to in the scene. And, you know, I had this whole idea of, like, going to take the prop out, and I was going to, like, look like as if, like, having the actual condom would show them, like, wow, she's really good.
She's done her homework.
First of all, she brings her own props.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'll save us.
Brought her own rubber.
How titillating.
Yeah.
All of it.
I'm going to use that rubber.
First of all, even if she doesn't get it, we're going to ask her if maybe we could. Can we keep that?
Can we do an improv?
Can you leave that? But during the audition, for whatever reason, I was so excited and too nervous. I couldn't get it out of my pocket. It got stuck. And so I thought.
In your actual pocket.
In my this pocket.
You know what I thought? I was going to really, really go, you know, I was going to go to a place that they hadn't seen and you put the thing in your.
Because that's the kind of actress I am.
I'm telling you, man.
My parents
are committed.
Bob and Helen Levine are going to be listening to this podcast and I.
They know what a is.
They do. Least, I hope so.
At least Helen does.
Anyway, so I couldn't get it out, and I did the audition, and I had to, like, go back. You would walk up the aisle past them to get to the door that exits the theater. And I got outside, and I was like, I didn't use the condom. I didn't use the condom. And I was so obsessed with this that I walked back into.
Always a mistake.
What part
Never
of that?
Go back to an audition that you fucked up. Just get me back in that room. No.
I walked back in, took the condom out of my pocket and handed it to Daniel Swee, who just looked at me with complete
pity.
Pity and mostly dismay, probably dismay. And then I walked out and I wanted to go back in again.
Thing. That's what he's thinking.
Go back in again.
Yeah, can
be
I
like,
just...
wait, I'm so sorry.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. It's just I had the thing and the thing. And I think about those moments of just wanting something so badly.
I took a Klonopin once because I was nervous. And I called a friend. I said, do you have any beta blockers? You know, because I used to remember. I think I discovered those.
Yeah.
I feel like in my circle of friends, I was like, hey, I have something that if you get nervous, you can take this pill.
And it will not affect performance.
And then your heart won't be beating in your teeth, so you can actually maybe concentrate on what you're saying.
Right. I'm on one right now.
I use a suppository.
Do you?
Yeah. A big giant beta blocker. So I shove it up my
That's a great idea.
In my
You're obsessed. You're obsessed. Go
with,
on.
With
your
sticking
own.
Things in my
I like it.
Inside my body.
Everyone's really a 9-year old boy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, so go on. So you're like, dude, do you have a
I did that.
Pin?
Yeah. So he said, I don't have anything like that. I have a Klonopin. And I was like, what's a Klonopin? And he said, it's an anti-anxiety pill. And I said, yeah, bring it over. And I was at like a hotel in Los Angeles.
Were you
about
testing
to screen
for
test
something?
For, or not even screen, one of those horrible tests where you're in the room with all these, you know,
right.
people.
Right. A network test.
The worst thing to whoever discovered that was a real asshole.
It was me.
Yeah. It was you.
It was me.
Now they don't even do that anymore, right?
No.
They put people on tape.
I think, yeah. At worst, you're Skyping or something.
Yeah, you use
mostly,
a camera.
Yes.
Hey, I got an idea.
Right.
Let's actually shoot this thing.
Because it's going to be a show is filmed. Do you remember what pilot it was?
It was a Terry George thing. Terry George, who's a great director, an Irishman, who, The Name of the Father, I believe he did. And it was a TV show that I can't remember the name of. And I had no business even getting past the first audition, but I had a good audition for Terry George. And he's like, he even said, he goes, I don't know why, but I'm going to bring
accent.
You, I'm going to do the next one.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I can't
know why.
Do yeah.
All right.
So he goes, I'm going to put you in the network and probably just to give, you know, because they have
who,
to.
Here's
has
who
to
we're
be,
not going to hire.
Yeah, here's the guy that's not going to get it so that they can give it to the guy that
Perfect.
Got it.
He's so wrong. This
and,
guy is.
He's
not,
so wrong.
Right.
And I took that pill and I went into that room and I had whatever the opposite of inhibitions is, that's what I had. And I literally finished the audition with my arms up with Richard Nixon, peace signs. And right. I was like, thank you, Los Angeles. I don't know what the last line was. And I looked at the audience, the little group of people sitting there. I think Les Moonves was in that room and they all had their mouths hanging open, like just crickets, you know? And I was like, I walked out, you know, like
awful.
Dropped the mic and walked out. And they were like, thank God.
You're
that's
welcome,
over.
America.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I did that once. It was for Louis C.K. It was his first, the first time he was going to do a TV show. You had told me about beta blockers and I was like, that sounds amazing.
I remember telling you about
you
that.
You did. Yeah. But the other thing you told me to do was test it out first. Like before you use
oh, yeah,
it for an audition.
Oh, yeah, take a half of one. Yeah,
take
yeah,
a half
yeah,
or
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
just go like go to Fairway and go grocery shopping. Just see
Naked.
How you can do, just see what you are like. What does your body chemistry.
Right. That's good advice.
Yes. Great advice. However, for whatever reason, I didn't get round to it.
Oh.
And here yeah. was the time for me to go in. And similarly, I had gone in once and it had gone so well. And I was like, I don't want to get my own way. They love me. And I don't want my nerves because as I get closer to something and you sign the contract, like you will have $1 million if you do this job.
Right.
I would try to sign those contracts like with my eyes closed as if then I wouldn't be influenced by the
excitement.
I mean,
what a bad idea. That's another bad idea. Make them sign a 6-year contract before they go in for the audition. That's a good, whoever thought of that is a real dickhead
too.
You
and I run the world, let me tell you. Things are going
to
be different.
Bad moves. How to get a bad performance out of someone.
I was so both excited and undone by the fact that I had ingested something. By the way, took a whole one because they're teeny. Beta blockers are literally the teeniest pills I've ever seen. And in my mind, I was like, well, this is teeny. Not understanding, like, this is teeny and 15 milligrams. Like, no idea. So I go in and it's almost like I'm eating the inside of my face off at the same time, which is really pretty. And I start.
It's a good feeling.
And I'm just like so excited that I'm trying this that I spend my entire reading telling them. I was like, you guys, I just have to stop. Can I tell you what I did right before? Can I tell you?
Because,
can you guys tell?
You crazy?
I was just so excited. I was like, I found the thing. I'm not nervous. I feel like
you're
we
telling
are.
Them about the pill.
Oh, telling them the whole thing. I feel like we're colleagues. And you want to know why I'm not nervous? I just took this thing. Do you guys know about beta blockers? And I am literally stopping my own audition because I'm like, can I tell you something? I'm not nervous.
Clearly.
I'm not
sweating. Thank you very much. Thank you, miss. Thank you very much.
And I'm like, Louis C.K., if anyone's like you and me, right? Like, do you want one? Now I'm like trying to sell them. Like, I got a bag full and I will sell them to each of you.
I feel bad for the people in that room.
I do too. I feel bad for me.
I don't feel bad for you. You
it worked out.
You deserve what you got.
I
had an audition once where the guy changed, well, the person I was auditioning for changed into a tuxedo. I was at Circle in the Square.
Because
and I was
you
doing
were such
some,
an elegant actor. They're like, wait a minute.
They were like, I look out there. I was on the stage. And for those that don't know, Circle in the Square is just that. It's a theater in the round. And the stage is sort of below the audience. So you're looking down to the stage, or at least in that configuration. And this guy, this casting director said, okay, go ahead. And, you know, you did do some speech from something, play, I don't know. And I'm doing the thing and I'm looking out. And I see some sort of movement in the dark, but I can't quite, you know, and then I see, and then the guy takes his pants off. And then he grabs something, you know, a coat hanger or a garment bag and
gives
pulls out a bunch
abortion.
Of other clothes and puts a different pair of pants on and shoes and thing. And then the tie and literally goes, okay, that's it. Okay, great. Thanks. Come on. I'll walk out with you. And he's in a tuxedo. I was like, what? Clearly I made a gigantic impression on him. I have a story.
All right.
That is an audition story, if that's what you want.
I have the best.
I hadn't lived here very long. I was staying at my sister's apartment on the Upper East Side, and because I didn't have any money to, you know, pay my own rent. And she was, I was sort of living out, I was out at night, and she was up early in the morning, so she had gone off to work. And I got a call from my manager, and he said, there's a Sylvester Stallone movie that they want to read you for, but you're too Irish looking. I'm worried about this, and I want you to dye your hair. So I said, okay, what color? What? And he goes, black, dummy. So I said, okay. And he goes, go down to the drugstore and get one of those things and dye your hair. The audition's in an hour and 20 minutes. It's like July 13th. It's 400 degrees. It's Manhattan. You know, it's a horrible, humid summer day in Manhattan. I go down to the Dwayne Reed or whatever it was, get the stuff, come back, and I notice that some guys digging a trench in the street out in front of her apartment. And go in upstairs, put the shit in my hair, which is, you know, like black syrup, if you ever see this stuff. And you put it in there, and you're supposed to just leave it in there for a while, and you have these little gloves that are the size of a small woman's hand.
Right.
And those... And
your proctologist gloves.
Yeah, you put them on little, yeah, tiny little plastic gloves that you put on, and they tear. And so you've got this shit all over your hands. And then you're supposed to... There's a little plastic bonnet that you put on. And I remember this because my mother used to dye her own hair back in the day, you know, at home. And she'd walk around with this plastic little cap on, little see-through thing. So I had that on for the requisite time. And I'm looking, you know, learning my lines and being nervous because,
right?
You know, I didn't have beta blockers then. So
no.
I was just a nervous idiot with this shit in my hair and this little plastic cap on my head. And then I, like, you know, 10 minutes goes by, whatever. And then I, okay, time to get this stuff off. And I turn the water on and the water goes, you know, that noise where there's no water in the pipes. And I was like, what? And I realized, the guys in the street, they shut the water off because they're digging a trench in the street. And so I run to the other end of the apartment, throw the window open, and I'm like, you know, shirtless with this plastic hood on my head and this shit rolling down my ears. I'd be like, hey, fellas, when can I expect to have the water
Young
turned
man.
Back on? And they're like, tomorrow, Agnes. And and I was like, oh, thank you. And like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? And there's no water, so I go into the refrigerator, and first of all, I'm thinking I stick my head in the toilet, and I wasn't that desperate.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I gotta, there's gonna be water. Maybe there's water in the fridge or something. So there was like a, you know, a plastic bottle of water. I take off all my clothes. I pour the water on myself in the bathtub, and now it's just thinned this stuff out enough so that it's all over my body. And it's still, you know, it's still like paste in my hair. and as I get out of the thing, go back, and there's a jogger's bottle of water. So I squirt that on my, and then like a bottle of seltzer. And then I have enough, and I go, and I'm like, this isn't going to work. I go my sister's laundry quarters is all, there's like a little cup full, put on my clothes, run down to that store, get a couple bottles of water, come back in, and, you know, little liter bottles of Evian, and get back in the tub, get this stuff just off of my head area. I don't care if it was all over my body. I was just going to put on long sleeves and button the shirt all the way up.
In July,
of course. So I do that, and I get it just off. I'm standing in the tub looking over by the sink, because, you know, the mirror above the sink, so that I can just see myself enough to know that I don't have it on my head. So I get it off of my head, but it's still literally dripping down my sides of my head. And I go to the audition, and the audition, if I could only remember this casting director's name, she was crazy. And she would get into it. She was literally like, and it was, the scene was Sylvester Stallone's brother.
Okay.
Who was the sort of ne'er-do-well brother. Sly is always having to get out of a jam. This jam was that I had borrowed some money from some loan shark or something, and this guy was going to publicly humiliate me by making me give him a...
What doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Right, so I'm doing this scene for the casting director and I don't know, some other people. And I got this shit dripping down the sides of my head. I'm literally like, I got like a nervous tick, like keep wiping my ears and my side, my head. And this woman is playing the part of the gangster, and she's coming around the desk, and she's standing in front of me, and I'm drop to my knees, like, no, don't make me do it, Charlie. Don't make, or whatever. And she's going, you're gonna do it. You know, whatever the lines were. And I remember having a distinct out-of-body experience. I flew up to the corner of the room, and I looked down on myself, you know, holding the script, wiping the shit off of my hair and my ears. This woman pretending to be a gangster, telling me to give her a and I was just like, wow, this is what a weird day. That's all I could think. I was like, this is very weird. And then I got up and left, and I did not get the part.
They never made the movie. What was the feedback?
The movie was, the feedback was that I was too Irish. Literally, that was They it went well. They were like, it went pretty well. They don't believe that you're going to be Sylvester Stallone's brother. And that movie turned out to be Rocky III.
I want to thank my guest, John Slattery, star of Mad Men and Rocky III, for joining me on two episodes of Little Known Facts. I'm your host, Alana Levine, and I thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Clouds can make the wind blow. Hey, I'm Alana Levine. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to rate and review our show in the iTunes show page. Little Known Facts is recorded at the Hangar Studios in New York City.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.